Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to goldradio.fm. Available online at housestreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to goldradio.fm, podcasting in 0.9999 fine. I'm Jim Goddard.
My guest is Jim Willey, founder of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com. Jim, welcome back to goldradio.fm.
Good to be back. We are in extraordinary and strange times. So let's get on with it.
Well, first off, how are things at the Hat Trick Letter, and how can people sign up?
The Hat Trick Letter is, like many different publications, dealing with a tremendous amount of mystery, a tremendous amount of confusion, a tremendous amount of propaganda and bullshit, and I'm doing the best I can, and from all feedback, doing very well. So it's people can subscribe with golden-jackass.com, www.golden-jackass.com. We just posted on Sunday the September report. I have taken the liberty to shortening the report and not explaining for the 10th time that something is broken, and not explaining for the 15th time that something is corrupted, and not explaining for the 8th time that something is completely out of whack. So I'm giving more of a high-level description, and it went over very well. I won't lie, I was a little anxious in making it more of an outlined report, but there is so much going on, and there is so much breaking in so many different areas, and so much confusion in everything, that it's very hard to have under a 100-page report if I got into detail. So I made an outlined report, and it went over very well. www.golden-jackass.com. Things are going well with the Hat Trick Letter. I'm maintaining a certain level, and it's good, even though the economy is rotten, even though a lot of people are seriously hurting.
Can a meaningful political reset happen while widespread voter fraud still exists?
Absolutely not. We have a situation where it's been demonstrated. I might be ruining your next question, but it's been demonstrated within the political early midterm elections that they have again used voting systems to change votes. I don't mean single votes. I mean just move 12,000 at a time. 12,200 up, 12,200 down, in order to corrupt the process and favor the existing liberal Democrat candidates. No, you cannot have an honest election in this kind of a climate. The financial reset is in danger, but the political reset just depends heavily on honest elections and the elimination of the mail-in ballots. So there's still quite a lot of resistance in those so-called blue states. And in my opinion, they have to be arrested. The leaders of those states have to be arrested. The certain election officials have to be arrested. The secretaries of state have to be arrested. And this is a difficult process.
Could we be looking at a positive financial reset ahead that includes the banking system?
Oh, gosh. This is very difficult. A positive financial reset. Unfortunately, I think any financial reset is going to depend upon the entire financial system going into a death spiral, a collapse mode, a ruination sequence. And we're starting to see it with, it's in the bond market, the breakdown is happening, Jim. They raised the price of oil. That was orchestrated. That was in order to liquidate a lot of the petrodollar derivatives. And they're in the trillions. But what they cannot manage is the higher interest rates, the lower bond values, because the bond yields have gone up. If interest rates rise, the bond principal goes down, bonds lose value, and there are a lot of leveraged interest rate swap derivatives. Okay, the political reset is a completely separate matter. The financial reset, unfortunately, will be done after a great deal of crisis and significant loss. There was news yesterday and today out of England that a couple of big pension funds got $100 million margin calls, and we are watching the destruction of some of these big financial funds. And there's a debate going on within my clan of whether this is an intentional scuttle of certain big funds. Remember what the Davos Uber Lords want. Everybody to be poor, nobody to have any assets or money, income to be low, and you must apply for food based on a social credit score system. You'll be poor, but you'll be happy as long as you comply and obedient. This is what they're striving for. And I don't know if they're going to be successful, but they've got some of the early signals toward a financial crisis that I believe could be 3 to 5 times bigger than the Lehman crisis. Let that sink in. 3 to 5 times bigger than the Lehman crisis, because in the Lehman crisis, we did not have a global rejection of the dollar. Now we got a bond problem, global rejection of the dollar, principally the Eastern nations. And during all this, we're having some derivative declines and serious problems that are not resolvable. That was not the case in 2008 with the Lehman situation. Not at all. That was a bond market problem. It was like an extraordinary hiccup that led to a brief heart attack. It was global. They had ripples. They called it, they even made a new acronym for it, the GFC, Global Financial Crisis. You start hearing about the GFC for 2, 3, 4 years later. Okay, this is different. This is the end of the dollar. And the people who are the least aware of what's going on are the American citizens. American citizens don't know what the dollar is. They don't know what the dollar represents in foreign hands. They don't know what the treasury bonds are with Forex reserves, namely savings accounts for foreign nations. And they just don't know what the dollar is. The dollar is facing a sunset, Jim, and that was not the case in 2008.
The U.S. dollar continues to rise against other currencies. What could lead to the demise of the greenback?
Too much debt. I just saw Druckenmiller on a brief CNBC staged interview. By that, I mean he was on a stage. He had an audience. And he was talking about how in the next 2 or 3 years, the interest on the debt for the U.S. government is going to eat up all of Social Security. And I thought, well, that's pretty funny. And then he said, in another 5 years, it's going to eat up all entitlements. And I thought, well, that's pretty funny. Because the real issue, Jim, and people need to be aware of this in a very crystal clear manner. We are facing a crisis where I do not think the U.S. dollar in its current form will even exist by 2025 or 2024. We're facing the death of the dollar. We're facing a complete revamp of the dollar, and the people in charge of the dollar are refusing to let it happen, and therefore we are likely to see a complete collapse of the U.S. economy and the banking system. But for starters, a debt default to the U.S. government and a collapse of the U.S. banks. Here's just a couple tidbits. Chase Manhattan, J.P. Morgan Chase, just issued a notice from Jamie Dimon, the CEO, that they're going to cut out all the credit cards, and any bank employee who objects or voices an opinion against that will be fired. So Chase credit cards are heading out. Another story is Wells Fargo had a client in the West. I don't think it was California. I don't really know, but they paid off. The client paid off a $278,000 mortgage and was not given the property title upon request, but instead was told, hire an attorney and contact our legal department. Read between the lines, and it means Wells Fargo is bankrupt and its assets are in trusteeship, receivership. Okay, there's a lot going on. I mentioned, I think, the last month that J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America are all in bankruptcy. I got another indication from a client a couple of days ago, and he said that he is he has a friend who is a Bank of America employee, and they told their employees to advise clients, do not write a check from Bank of America and deposit it outside the United States. It will not be honored. Okay, there's a lot going on, and people need to wake up to the fact that we're facing a bank collapse problem and a U.S. government debt default, which I forecasted in 2010. I said it would take a decade to unfold, and here it is.
Going back to the World Economic Forum, where their goal, the big reset, where you'll own nothing to be happy about it, they claim that that was just a discussion point, that that isn't the real plan. Is that just a cover-up of the real plan?
It's an absolute stinking, ugly, nefarious lie. They want to wreck all the financial markets. They want to destroy the pensions and the insurance companies so they cannot pay out awards like for vaccine damage. They want to wreck the stock market. They want to wreck the bond market. And they are in progress now.
Does currency eruption lead to even greater price inflation?
Oh, boy. Currency eruption. I'm not really clear. But by that, do you mean disruption, currency crisis?
Sure.
Okay. It leads to certain weaker currencies not being able to compete, and they decline. I think it was the July report. Just for instance, the peso of Chile, the country Chile, it went down 40% in two or three months. You cannot survive that. They had horrendous price inflation in Chile. Of course Americans don't hear about it. Of course Americans don't give a crap about it. The currency crisis right now is a work in study. I made a call 5 years ago. I said that we're going to see the dollar go up, up, and then up some more before it vanishes. I took some heat for that, but I took a lot of compliments. The dollar will go up, and then take a break, and then go up some more before it vanishes, before it goes away, before it is part of a sunset program. And here's what's going on. To begin with, the dollar is strong versus the secondary countries. I don't mean like Europe and Japan and Britain. I mean the secondary countries. The Argentine peso, the Chile peso, the Thailand baht. Okay? The secondary countries cannot compete with the dollar because we finance our government debt with the printing press. We have the ability to create money out of thin air and support our debt, and those countries do not, so their currencies cannot compete, and they fall, and they get price inflation, which is the basis of your question. Now, the group of forex currencies, the yuan, the euro, the British pound, what else is there? The yen of Japan. They are all major currencies from, you know, superpower economies, big, powerful industrial economies. And I find the word industrialized nation to be funny anymore because the United States is no longer an industrialized nation. It's a de-industrialized nation. And Europe is largely de-industrialized also. And England is de-industrialized. And this is part of the Davos plan to wreck the economies by removing the industry. But back to the dollar versus these forex currencies. The dollar is stronger than the euro. The dollar is stronger than the British pound because there's a lot of demand for the dollars, even by financial institutions in those major countries like the European Union, England, Japan, even Switzerland. They have demand for the dollar, Jim, in order to liquidate and get rid of the big derivatives, the petrodollar derivative and the interest rate swap derivative. That demand to liquidate the derivatives results in the dollar going up. during the destruction of the economies. That's why I said the dollar will go up, up, and then up some more before it vanishes. The dollar is going up because of liquidation of the foundation for the entire Western banking system, and that foundation is the derivatives worth $700 to $800 trillion of notional value that are based in two types of contracts and more, but two major, the petrodollar and the interest rate swap derivative. So the dollar is going up because we're in the final dive. We're in the final collapse phase. So the dollar goes up versus the major forexes, and the secondary countries have their currencies totally wrecked. And it all causes price inflation in the other countries, and in the United States, it's really quite interesting. The dollar is strong, but it doesn't have purchase power because we're having price inflation and it doesn't have the ability to purchase much anymore. It purchases half as many eggs as before. It purchases half as much gasoline and diesel as before. It purchases a third of as much as of certain hardware, plastic pipe, and plywood. Okay, the dollar is losing its purchase power while it's strong. This is a collapse indication. All right, let's move on. I tried my best to explain that, and it's not the first time I've tried to explain it. Very difficult. The dollar's going up because it is dying.
Would greater price inflation lead to higher stock prices?
Well, yeah, but not really. In a typical inflation situation, in a typical, oh gosh, how to describe this? It's so difficult to describe. The questions sound easy and the answers are very difficult.
Jim, that's why I ask questions instead of answer them. It's so much easier to ask them than answer.
Okay. If we were in a typical situation, like say in the late 80s or say in the late 2000s, we would probably be in a position to inflate the debt away, print a lot of money, get cooperation from the other major nations to print a lot of money in their currencies also, and reduce the effect of the debt. And by doing that, they'd be flooding the entire system with money, wages would go up, asset prices would go up, housing prices go up, and yeah, stock prices would go up. But this is not a situation where we're printing money to inflate the debt away. We're printing money to cover the derivatives during the death spiral. We're in a death spiral. And the architects of this death spiral are trying to get a human death spiral at the same time with the vaccinations. They've killed 5 to 10 million Americans. They've killed a tenth of that number of Canadians, and it's getting interfered with, but we might have a lagged effect of the deaths. This is not a typical situation where we're inflating the debt away. We're printing money to cover extraordinary economic loss, tax shortage, deficit like you cannot even describe. I mean, I remember in 2010, I forecasted a $1 trillion U.S. government deficit. $1 trillion. We got it, and I said, you're going to get that for the next several years. And we did get that for the next several years. Now we've got a $2 to $3 trillion annual deficit. We cannot inflate the debt away. So what we're doing is we're printing money to cover the ruined derivatives that are valued $700 to $800 trillion. Okay, we're in a nuclear financial breakdown, meltdown.
In British Columbia, there's a speaking tour underway called Justice for the Vaccinated. They're online at vaxjustice.org. Do you think the vaccinated will see justice?
No, not much. Well, some. It's so hard to say. My first impression is not quickly, not to cover funeral costs, not to cover medical costs. Okay, this vaccination program is designed to kill, and it's designed to drive up medical bills. And it's very successful, but it's being exposed. So in the first and second and third rounds, it's just going to be deaths and high medical bills. And that's when it turns very intriguing. Not just interesting, but intriguing. because the lawsuits have begun. There are lawsuits in California over the policy use in hospitals of remdesivir, which is now known in the medical journals from a few years ago to have deathly consequences. They covered that all up in order to make it policy in hospitals because they wanted to kill more people. So the lawsuits have begun, and here's where the intrigue comes. I've got on good authority, Jim, that the major stockholders of big pharma firms are now selling out to private equity firms so that when the time comes to do the class action lawsuits, it will be very difficult to locate the owners of the big pharma companies, and the ones who are guilty have already sold out because the process is too slow. Then comes the problem of the private equity firms concealing the identity and residence location of the owners of, say, Pfizer. What is the legal recourse at that point? You chase them down and you make a lawsuit against the people who sold their big pharma stock, and you chase them down and you chase them down and you hunt them down. Okay, this is going to get very hairy, very complicated, and full of intrigue. The people will get some justice, but it's going to be very difficult to collect. If you see the owners of big pharma sell out and then it goes down 80%, there's still going to be a lot of equity there in the market capitalization to do class action lawsuits. But if you've got 20 million plaintiffs and each one of them is entitled to, say, $2 million, then you're talking about $40 trillion. There's not enough money in the big pharma to pay it out. The numbers are going to be too big for justice for the vaccinated. If you have, say, 1,000 victims and each one of them gets a $2 million reward, you've got a $2 billion payout. That's manageable. If you make it 1,000 times bigger from the mass genocide, you're not going to have enough capital in these big pharma companies to pay out to the victims. It's just that simple.
The U.S. midterms are coming up in a few weeks. Are the Democrats likely to go down without a fight?
The Democrats are likely to install the voting systems and try to do it again. This is going to get very weird and very hairy and very complicated. What we have to hope for here is some kind of a sweeping arrest of the guilty parties who are involved in conspiracy to defraud the next election before it happens. They're putting in place the same fraudulent elements. They've got a few states now that are not going to make forbidden the mail-in ballots. They're not going to do that. So they've got fraud planned. What we have to do now is stop the process. We need to arrest the people for conspiracy for the next election and not wait for them to commit the crime and hope that everything gets fixed after they commit the fraud. We need to prevent the fraud. The midterm elections, I think, are kind of a 50-50 toss-up right now. I used to think it was more like, 5-1 odds that it would happen. And now I'm beginning to think the Democrats will not go quietly into the night. The Marxists, communists, liberals, Democrats, with their legion of 30 million illegal, unvetted aliens who are unassimilated, don't speak English, and think the only way they can continue to get their benefits is to vote Democrat. Okay, this is all lined up again. The only thing that seems to have changed a lot is in something like 35 or more states in the United States, they have had election reform at the state legislative level. And the reform is to remove the mail-in ballots and to permit a more just method of challenging some kind of a fraud in the election process. In other words, bring about due process for challenge a little bit more efficiently and justly. Okay, what I'm beginning to see and believe, doing more arrests, and they're accelerating the entire process of their arresting. They're arresting. I heard, for instance, Jim, I heard 2 weeks ago that 71 U.S. Congress members were replaced And I believe that between the lines, it means they were arrested and replaced. This is getting very complicated, very hairy, and very dangerous for the future of our nation to fall permanently into Marxist fascism, which is a merging of the far-right fascists and the far-left Marxists. It's like the narcos meet the communists, and they make a deal. They make a deal to cut out the conservatives, cut out the libertarians, cut out the independents, and let's go with a narcotics communist dictatorship. I think the White Alliance has been ramped up, activated, and from what I'm hearing, they're like 10 to 20 times more active in their arresting than they ever were in the last several months. So this is kind of exciting, but also very unnerving.
Does it look like the Democrats are openly cheating on the midterms?
Yeah, I have two examples. One was Colorado, and one was, I believe, Michigan. Michigan had some vote flipping, and Colorado had some vote flipping. It was not for the governor's race. It was for one of the underlings, like Secretary of State, or there was a different one. I cannot remember the post. But in two states, and they challenged the Secretary of State loser in Colorado. Well, yeah, maybe there was some discrepancies, but it's going to cost you $240,000 challenge. And I honestly don't know the outcome. I think it's just delayed, delayed, delayed. But the loser, after the fraud, raised the money in 24 hours. So that took the deep state and the Marxists, you know, whatever you want to call them. I don't like the name of liberal retard, because they're not retarded. They're criminal. They're liberal Marxists who have no respect for law. That's not retarded. That's thoughtful and corrupt. Okay, so there have been some examples, and I think what Team Trump or the White Alliance, whatever you want to call them, I think what they're waiting to see is in these early elections before November, let's see if we notice and detect the same voting fraud methods. And they did. So now it becomes a race to arrest the people involved so they don't have the ability to run the fraudulent apparatus in November. If they don't get it done, we may not see the election. If they do get it done, we might not see the election. Okay, this is very hairy. One example, one scenario where we might see the election is if a lot of people are arrested and it does not cause chaos, does not cause rioting, does not cause, say, a strike at the Congress. We need a cleanup that's done peacefully and orderly, and I don't know if that's possible.
Is more and more corruption and evil being exposed?
Yeah, I'll give you an example about England. They've got a movement in England, and it's called London Bridge. Like, London Bridge is falling down? Yeah, that's pretty much what it's named after. London Bridge is a new movement in London, in England, to expose the corruption of the royals. And in my report, I show that there are two Charles. The new Charles is not the same as the old Charles. So we have a succession challenge coming. It's sometimes called an interregnum challenge. Okay, the passing of the claim to the throne. Interregnum, between kingdoms. This new Charles is not the same as the old Charles. There's a lot of reports that the old Charles is long gone. The exposure is the greatest right now in England. And let me just say something very briefly. I don't believe Princess Diana is dead. And I believe she had multiple lovers. And there's now a big challenge and a hubbub controversy over who the father is for her two children, William and Harry. Okay, there are other countries that are having exposure to the corruption and evil. It's coming out slowly. One of the big cases is the Hunter Biden show. It's not just a video. It's like 100 videos and 10,000 photographs.
The UK and Italy have new prime ministers. Do they have ties to Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum?
In England, yes. I think the woman's name is Truss. And she's a Davos disciple, you know, leaders of tomorrow, all that bullshit, fascist leaders of tomorrow with rigged elections to make sure you have a career under the Davos shadow. But the prime minister of Italy is a woman named Meloni, M-E-L-O-N-I, not Maloney, the Irish name, Meloni. And Meloni ran on a platform to normalize relations with Russia to get the economy back on track, to reinstall the pipeline connection for gas supply. And proof that she was not part of the Klaus Schwab gang is that she got threatened by the unelected European commissioners, European Union commissioners in Brussels. She got threatened. And I'm really waiting to see what is Brussels going to do. We're about to see some colossal errors coming out of Brussels and the European Union Commission out of desperation. They're not elected. They're installed fascist continental leaders. They're not elected, and they're threatening elected Italian leader. Okay, this is going to get very weird, and I'd like to just take some credit here briefly. I said that in France, Germany, or Italy, and most likely Italy, we would have our first serious challenge to the Davos Order. And we saw it 2 months ago when they got rid of their prime minister by dissolving the coalition, and they removed Mario Draghi. And they follow that up with an exclamation point that Italy wants normal relations with Russia with this new prime minister woman, Meloni, who apparently is very bright. She's not, you know, wrinkled and old, and I heard she's beautiful. So she's very likely to get a lot of charisma and popularity from being a good speaker, a popular speaker, and a beautiful woman. This is going to be interesting.
We'll have more with Jim Willie right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
You're listening to GoldRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Jim Willie. Jim, President Trump keeps mentioning China invading Taiwan. Why?
Taiwan is a very interesting story and controversy unto itself. I'm going to start with the easy part. The easy part is that there are a lot of bio labs in Taiwan, and I'm not really clear on who's running them, but I think it's the U.S. Defense Department. The U.S. Defense Department has bio labs that they're funding and operating in Ukraine, and I believe that they're funding and operating in Taiwan. Okay, that's the easy one, if you can imagine. The second not-so-easy one is that when Chiang Kai-shek abandoned and escaped with his life from, back then it was called Peking, Peking is the Cantonese pronunciation, and Beijing is the Mandarin pronunciation. It's the same city. But when Chiang Kai-shek escaped in about 1935 or 1937, I don't know exactly, I think it was before 1940 though, he escaped with half of the gold from the official government Chinese gold reserves. And he went to Taiwan with them. So they got a lot of gold. And it's in the mix. It's in the battle. It's in the mix. And it's never talked about. But China wants it back. Now, I'm not talking about White Dragon gold or Golden Dragon gold. I'm talking about official Chinese government gold reserves from the 1930 decade. Okay. It is in the mix. It is believed to be in Taiwan. Now I'm going to get to the difficult part. So it's biolabs, gold, and semiconductor chips. I showed in the August report for the Hetrick letter a graph that showed global supply percentage ownership of chip fabrication, and Taiwan has about 70%. Unbelievable. A little island nation with tremendous controversy constantly has 70% of the global chip market share. There is controversy that there are tiny microchips in the vaccines, the messenger RNA, mRNA vaccines, and I believe that to be true, which means that the Taiwan companies, and the largest one is called Taiwan Semiconductor. Taiwan Semi is a very big company with a lot of clients, including, like, say, the big three automakers in the United States. They're a very big semiconductor fabrication company. Okay, so there is going to be a battle to control the global dominant player for semiconductors. and that is in Taiwan. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I believe that there have already been battles. I remember a battle a year and a half ago. It was very brief. It lasted a couple of weeks. It was the Iranian Air Force and the Chinese Air Force, and they battled against the U.S. Air Force and the Taiwan Air Force. And if it were a football score, it would be like 24-3. Taiwan USA just beat the shit out of them. Okay, so that was a preview. They learned in China that an air war cannot be won. So they're going to be planning a missile war. Because the U.S. does not have good missile defense systems. Our weapon procurement system in the United States during the last 30 years or more has been deeply corrupted, where a lot of diversion of the funds goes to Senate kickbacks, law firm fees, and lobbyist fees. And the end result is an insufficient amount of money to truly come through with the weapon system. And you see it in spades with the F-35, and you see an antiquated system with the Patriot anti-missile defense system. It failed horribly in the Gulf War. It failed badly and very visibly in Syria 3 years ago. Okay, so Taiwan is important, Jim, and I don't know how this is going to turn out, but it is a gigantic bargaining chip. If, for instance, the United States wants to say to China, we have something to give to you, but you have to give us back the United States and get all of your bribed state and federal and military officials. You have to get rid of them all. We want you to give up your control of the United States, give up your claim on California, and we will give you Taiwan. That is a possible outcome. I think there tend to be maybe over 1,000 people in the U.S. federal, state, and military who are taking Chinese Communist Party bribes.
There's rising pressure on President Trump to denounce the vaccines. Why do you think he's not doing that?
Maybe it's pride. We've had this question covered before on previous shows, and there's no clear answer, but I'm going to throw out some potential reasons why. It could be pride, because he got fooled. He thought that there was a positive element to the vaccines. I don't know what kind of science background the man has. I think he's a business genius, but he might be a science moron. There are a lot of business geniuses who don't know shit from shinola about science. I asked my educated father, doctorate in literature, I asked him 10 questions about vaccines and viruses. He didn't get a single one of the 10 questions correct. And he said, Jim, you think you do? I said, yes, Dad, I can answer all 10. I've studied, I've invested time, and you have not. And he was silent. There are a lot of people who are smart, who are educated, but who don't follow biology, nutrition, health, immune system, or vaccines, vaccine damage, viruses. They didn't study any of it. They walk around with masks whose cotton density is 500 times larger than the size of a virus. So it's like using, like, it's not using how do I describe this? Like using fence posts to stop mosquitoes. Chain link fence to stop mosquitoes. Telephone poles to stop a herd of cattle. It's absolutely ridiculous that people are wearing masks to stop a virus when the virus is 500 times smaller than the density of their mask. They are just plain stupid. Stupid and ignorant. And after you have a lot of exposed information, you move from ignorant to stupid because you didn't take up your opportunity to learn. You were unlearned before and you refused to learn, and now you're stupid. I have a joke. I tell people, that's a really nice mask you got. You're all prepared for falling pigeon shit. You're prepared. Twist out pepperado for popo de palomas, for pigeon shit. Okay, I don't make friends here, and I don't care. Okay. I think there are other possible reasons. It could be that Trump was told, you advocate the vaccine for which we promise is valid and a good idea, or we will assassinate you. That's a possibility. It's also possible that in the first round, the big pharma companies did not have enough real deadly vaccine vials prepared, and Trump knew it, So he wanted the public to hurry up, get out there, get your placebo, and go home. But he did not have an answer for the boosters. Booster one, booster two, booster three. I've got friends of friends who tell me, I'll take all the boosters that they offer. I want protection from all the variants. They are stupid people, the variants. What they're calling now the vaccine AIDS that leads to lots and lots of diseases, they're calling them variants. It's AIDS. It's not variants of the virus. They got AIDS from the injection. They got duped. I think Trump did not have an answer to the boosters for round two, three, and four, Jim, so he stayed with his original script. I tell you, this is tragic. I wish he'd come forward and say, look, don't take the boosters. I think you might have gotten a good old placebo in round one or two, but don't take any more because they've caught up. But that could open him to the assassination threat. This is a very dangerous situation. This is war.
In an interview with Sean Hannity, President Trump referred to the precipice. What does that mean?
The precipice, I believe, is a financial precipice where the banks fail, where the economy experiences tremendous price inflation, where the dollar loses its purchasing power even though it's rising versus competitors. If the dollar is losing purchase power versus competitors, that means that competitors have an even worse purchasing power problem. The precipice is financial. They have to raise interest rates to offer a return to bondholders so they don't abandon them, but they are abandoning them. The precipice is financial, with the dollar, the banks, and the bonds.
Are central bank digital currencies likely to have expiry dates?
This has come up recently. I'm glad your guy put that in there. It's not something that I have studied extensively. It's something that I've gotten wind of. And here's my take. The expiration date is one issue regarding the central bank digital currency, CBDCs. You're going to hear CBDCs a lot. Digital currencies that are endorsed by a central bank and sponsored. A CBDC. Central bank digital currency. Okay, the expiration date is one issue. Another is, what is backing the CBDC? Is gold backing it? Or is there a basket that's dominated by gold like what Russia is proposing? Or is it likely, as U.S., London, and Switzerland, is it likely to be a fraudulent nothing burger basis to the digital currency like the dollar? And that's exactly what I think is coming. So there are a number of different characteristics of CBDCs, and I believe that coming out of the U.S., London, and Switzerland, Basel in particular, are going to be all the different fraudulent characteristics of CBDCs. And coming out of Russia, China, and Iran, that three big three triumvirate, we're going to see honest, legitimate characteristics. So, yeah, the West, with the United States, might have expiration dates. And I think eventually it won't matter because they will not be making the rules. Okay, there are a couple of sayings. The country that has the gold makes the rules, but there's another corollary to that, Jim, that I'd like to get out and put on the table. The country that produces the goods makes the rules. And Russia, China, Iran are going to be the center for global production out of the expanded BRICS, which is now beginning to be called BRICS Plus. I call it expanded BRICS, but I'll call it BRICS Plus. And what I'm hearing is that by the end of October, Iran is going to be formally invited into the BRICS to make it two I's, BRICS. And Russia, China, and Iran are all talking about a legitimate gold-backed CBDC, and the United States is talking about it, but I don't think they're going to deliver on it. So I don't give a shit about their expiration date. What I care about is that they might vanish my bank account unless I migrate to their corrupt CBDC. That is an issue coming up.
The province of Quebec here in Canada is having an election. So far, they have received a record number of early ballots. Is this a good or bad sign for election integrity?
I must be honest. I don't know much about the Quebec election, and I raise the question and throw it back to you. Are mail-in ballots permitted in Quebec?
Well, I guess so, if there's advanced ballots. I think there's mail-in ballots in every Canadian province.
No, I didn't say, I said mail-in ballots.
That's what I said.
Mail-in ballots are
I think, allowed in every Canadian election.
Then, no, I don't believe election integrity is returned. It's as simple as yes or no, you have mail-in ballots, because the mail-in ballots are being mass-produced off photocopy machines. They're being falsified, they're totally fraudulent, and there's no checks and balances for the legitimacy of a mail-in ballot, period. It's all a matter of whether you have mail-in ballots.
Home sales have slowed substantially in real estate downturns. Do sales drop first, followed by prices?
Yeah, I'm expecting a 30 to 50% price decline in home properties in the United States and Canada. The mortgage rate now in the United States has gotten toward 7%. That's the common, you know, what do they say it? The routine standard mortgage rate, 7%. Remember, the housing prices went up, up, up crazy, because the mortgage rates were like these adjustable 3% ridiculous rates. Now you go back toward normal 6 and 7% and the housing prices collapse. They lose everything they gained and more. I'm expecting at least a 30 to 50% decline in housing prices. And I'm very happy to have advised through at least 20 different consult sessions in January, February, March, April, May, do not invest your extra money in property. Take advantage of the discount that you're seeing in the silver price. And they say, well, I'd kind of like to get a property because it's tangible. I said, well, it's not tangible if its price is dependent upon easy money, printing press, and Fannie Mae fraudulent bonds, and none of them bought property. And now I'm starting to get thank you messages. We're already starting to see a decline in housing prices, and here's a phenomenon that starts the process. This is like the early dominoes. I had a client, it was about a month ago, I think it was like, you know, mid-August or a little late in August, and the client said, Jim, I got a friend, he's selling a house, and he had a contract, and the bank was asked to approve a certain loan, and the bank got back to the seller and said, we will approve, I'm sorry, to the buyer. So what did I say? They went back to the buyer and the seller got wind of it. They told the buyer, we will approve the loan, but $10,000 less. So the buyer took the order, took the contract, amended the contract, changed the price, $10,000 lower, and said to them, we've got an approved loan, but we need to make the price $10,000 lower. Will you drop the price $10,000 to facilitate the sale? And the seller did just that. The banks are in the position now to lower the loan amount to drop the sale price. That starts the process down. Then you got the comparables that look at that and say, well, we got a story over here, over here. And they dropped $12,000. Because of the loan. All right. Well, that's what we have to do also, because that's our comparable. The comparables combined with the bank loan reduction continues the process down. Then when they increase the mortgage rates, they worsen everything, and it gets momentum going down. I hope that is understandable, because we are in the beginning of what I believe to be the most powerful and vicious North American housing decline in modern history. It'll eclipse the Lehman Brothers situation, where we saw like 20%, 25% housing price decline across the market. I'm calling this Lehman times 5.
Are there good reasons to upgrade your mobile phone to 5G?
No, not unless you want to commit suicide. If that's a good prospect for you, then sure, do it. Enjoy that smart city where you're a cadaver on the side of the road in the smart city.
Why is that?
5G radiation is deadly. It's never described on television advertisements or publications as deadly. They advertise its faster speed, its greater response time, it's the power that it can draw upon for widespread usage within a city. But what they don't tell you about is how it disturbs your cellular mitochondria, energy production, the radiation at the cellular level that causes disruptions to chromosomes, the radiation and damage that it causes to your lung sacs that begin to bleed, get infected, and then they misdiagnose it, not as pneumonia from 5G, but they say, you've got COVID! The COVID! Okay, anyone who uses the word COVID as a disease, in my opinion, is an ignoramus. COVID is covert, vaccinated, identification, AI. Letter one, letter nine. Covert, artificial intelligence, cyborg. They latched on to the SARS virus, the COVID or COV nomenclature, to fool ignoramuses. I've got smart clients who say my wife got COVID, but she's okay. And I joke and I say, you mean she contracted the fascist initiative? What do you mean? Covert vaccination identification AI. Letter one, letter nine. Cyborg. The graphene in the vaccine, it's not a vaccine. The graphene in the injection creates an antenna system that your body grows from metal structures in your arteries and acts as an antenna. And I'm very concerned about what 5G is going to do with the antenna that the unfortunate people who took the vaccine that's not a vaccine, they took the induced AIDS injection. I'm very concerned about what the 5G is going to do with the antenna that they are building in their bodies. I believe it's going to release dormant viruses. Okay, 5G is deadly. We're now engaged in electromagnetic warfare against humanity. The humans are not that smart. The birds are much smarter. The birds in the Netherlands destroyed some transmitters of 5G towers. Americans are not destroying 5G towers. Okay, but there's an awakening going on for the dangers of 5G. There are movements afoot to stop 5G tower construction, and they're up against the cities who are under bribery from the big telecom carriers. And I hear there's a battle going on, Jim. They are confronting the telecom carrier companies and forcing them to stop with the 5G, or they are going to face genocide charges. Okay, this is getting very dangerous and very hairy. I've said that about five times.
Should people without 5G mobile phones be concerned about 5G signals?
Yes, because it can kill them. I covered that. Yeah, 5G is deadly. Yes, 5G kills. Okay, let me give you an example. In northern Italy in early 2020, and in metropolitan Madrid, Spain, they had thousands of 5G towers erected. And that is primarily where they saw the COVID cases. Back then they called it Corona. But while you weren't paying attention, they changed the name from Corona to COVID because you're an ignoramus. The primary cases of Corona and COVID came where the 5G towers were located in northern Italy, San Marino, the island, and in metropolitan Madrid. Thousands of cases. They were exploded alveoli lung sacs that got infected. And they were given deadly protocols, and many of them were killed in hospitals. I'm not speaking lightly. I've studied this. I'll go so far as to say in Wuhan, there were between 5 and 8 million people killed by 5G radiation. And it was all inside the Wuhan city limits. And there were no deaths outside of Wuhan because there were no 5G towers in the metropolitan suburban areas of Wuhan. All the 5G towers were inside the city. All the deaths were inside the city. And they burned millions of dead bodies. And it was visible from outer space. Okay, I have made my point about 5G and don't wish to talk about it anymore.
Going forward, do you think it will be safer to live in urban, suburban, or rural areas?
Anything but urban. Urban has the concentration of the 5G towers. Urban has the difficulty in the distribution for food and supplies. Urban has the, let's just say, the violent tendencies toward people that are endemic to the liberal types. Suburban, you got a better chance. Rural, I don't know. I think rural is probably a very good chance too, but you know, they need supplies also. They need a distribution system. If we are way down in diesel supply, then the entire distribution system is going to go hurting. And the primary victim will be the cities, but everybody will be a degree of a victim.
Where can people find out more about and subscribe to read the Hat Trick Letter?
It's golden-jackass.com. www.golden-jackass.com. I just posted the September newsletter. It's briefer, and I'm very happy that I got a lot of positive feedback from it. I don't offer tremendous depth of detail, but in past reports I have, they're all available. It's a new design on the website ever since early January 2019, so it's almost four full years now. Oh my gosh. Yeah. 2019, 20, 21, and 22. Almost 4 years of the new format. It's working out very well. I've got interviews like this listed on the articles and interviews links page. The flagship product is the newsletter. There's no question about that, but I offer consult sessions, and I'm happy to say that I've done 300 of them now. I hit the 300 mark in July, and I'm very pleased about that. I think I've helped a lot of people at an individual level with decisions that they were making, and those people have benefited by avoiding grievous errors. And some of them have let it be known to me that they've got zombie-like relatives and sister and brother who took the vaccine. That's not a vaccine. It's a messenger RNA delivery device for AIDS and heart attack with clots. A lot of people have family members who are damaged that I learn about directly from my clients. I personally have 9 people who are dead, friend of a friend, 9 people who are dead. They all died within 20 to 30 days after taking the vaccine. That's really not a vaccine. It's a gene therapy to do damage and cause AIDS and to be a clot injection. I've got a friend in the suburbs who's been here a lot longer than I have, and his wife is very sociable, a lot of friends, a lot of cocktail parties, a lot of dinner parties, and they know 250 people who are dead from taking the vaccine. It's really not a vaccine. It's a messenger RNA system, gene therapy to give AIDS and blood clots for heart attacks and strokes. I just was told yesterday that my good friend had a brother-in-law who died of turbo cancer 1 month after getting his boosters for the vaccine that's not a vaccine, and he did not learn from his sister who died of a heart attack 10 days after taking the vaccine that's really not a vaccine. If it's not a vaccine, I put double X in the spelling. If it is, I put double C in the spelling. This is a killer vaccine. It's really not a vaccine. It's a lethal messenger RNA delivery device to alter your immune system, your antibody production, and to make you a spinning centrifuge to infect everybody around you. And at the same time, I've had a number of clients give me a different report, Jim. They said, Jim, I got to tell you, I got a cousin, I got a neighbor, I got a coworker. They're all acting a little bit like zombies. They're not very alert. They don't get a joke. I try to talk to them, and they don't respond easily or quickly. They don't speak quickly. They don't speak fast. They don't speak logically. They don't understand certain things that are right in front of them. He said it's like they're losing their intellectual capacity. I said, yeah. It's eating away at their brain. Okay, it's unbelievable what is going on here. And if people don't wake up soon, we're going to see a good portion of the human population turn into dead people and zombies. So I got the Hat Trick Letter. It's on www.golden-jackass.com. I've got the consult sessions. I've got a number of consult orders in the last 2 weeks. I'm always working on a list. I did one yesterday. I did one 3 days ago, and they're really quite enjoyable. I tell people, yeah, give me your phone number. This will be fun. I try to make it fun. I don't horse around and joke too much. But, you know, we talk about a lot of very serious things. We interject some of the personal stories, and it just gets lively. It's fun. I enjoy them, but I get tired. Oh boy. If I do 3 in one day, I gotta lie down. They're kind of like interviews. If I did 3 interviews, I'd have to lie down. They're draining. I mean, we're going on now for an hour, and I need to lie down after this. I just need to rest. I need to, you know, take care of myself. These are not easy interviews. gem. And consult calls are really an interview of a client. What's on your mind? Where do you come from? What's your background? What are your concerns? Is there anything I can help you with? What do you have for investment options? What do you have for assets? What do you need to know? What's going on? It's not easy to do. It's an interview.
Jim, thank you so much for chatting with GoldRadio.fm.
It's been a pleasure, Jim.
My guest has been Jim Willey, founder of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com. I'm Jim Goddard.
Comments made on GoldRadio.fm are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com. GoldRadio.fm is a production of How Street Media Incorporated. Executive producer is Tom Allen.